Hello and welcome to the Creative Culture podcast interview series. Today we're delighted to be speaking to Richard McCardy, founding director of the McCardy Collective Limited and of the BD 100 initiative. And Richard also sits on our own advisory board here at Creative Culture. Today Richard will share his view on the current pandemic, why brands should be investing in their agencies in times of uncertainty. And so welcome, Richard. And perhaps you could tell us a wee bit about yourself, your career, and really what you got into the world of business development.
Sure. Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me. I guess, like so many people, I think in business development, I kind of stumbled into it because I think, you know, 25 years ago, I don't think it really was laid out as a career path, which is something that we're trying to change. But, you know, back then I left uni thinking, you know, having done sort of economics and marketing, I thought, well, I'm going to go into an ad agency or I might go into the marketing department of a brand. But all of the sort of graduate application forms seem to be geared to strategy or creative. And I think through doing those application forms, I pretty quickly realized I wasn't really destined for creative or strategy. But on the sort of sales side of things, I stumbled into an interview process that was really quite smart because it set up a bit of a role play and suggested that you had met a business prospect at a weekend function. And then on the Monday morning, you needed to call up and set up a creds meeting. And I just felt really comfortable with it and did all right at it. And then I guess from there, set up that role as my own and started bringing in intelligence and reading industry press to try and work out what were the best prospects for us to go for as an agency. And, you know, so many of those core pillars of business development I still implement today, even though, you know, tech has integrated into it all. There's still a massive amount of gut feel that goes into my role. So yeah, that's it. That's like 24 years. And now we're also working on the BD 100, as you mentioned, which is shining a light on the profession. So, you know, whereas there wasn't a career 24, 25 years ago, we're doing our best to recognize the talent across the sector now.
That's great. That's really interesting, actually. I mean, so you talked about the 20 odd years. I mean, you must have seen some changes in the way the brands operate, and also particularly more recently in their relationship to the pandemic.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's a fascinating area and I go to loads of events in marketing and comms and all the different areas that I work in across the agencies that I represent. And yeah, I mean, people talk about, you know, trust and loyalty. And I think trust and loyalty have been really heavy themes that I've seen over the last 6 months in particular. I think right at the beginning of the pandemic, I made a point of wanting to be in touch with the CMOs, the comms directors in my network to sort of give a bit of a barometer feel to what was going on out there. And on more than a number of occasions, I would be speaking to a CMO, possibly, you know, doing as a good BD would and asking about whether they had any work up for pitch or anything. But they were saying things like, look, if we are going to put any creative work out, then we're going to be loyal to our agencies because we can understand that they're struggling too through this. So actually, that was really quite warming. Brands have also been seeking different, more flexible ways of working. So agencies have had to obviously adapt to the conditions really quickly. And I guess, you know, the other theme is budgets. You know, budgets have definitely been reduced through this time, but expectations and requirements remain really high. So agencies have had to do more with less.
Yeah, of course. What do you feel, though, will be the long-term impact if brands don't take kind of more responsibility for their relationships with agencies as we go forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to sound really cliched, right? I'm like a massive optimist. I do see good in all things and in people. I don't know, maybe to to my detriment sometimes. But, you know, I really believe that the brands that we know, the ones we love, respect, and actually then as consumers we show loyalty to, they get to that place because they're led by brave, creative marketers and comms people who get there as well because they forge the best relationships with their agencies and their agency rosters. And because of that, award-winning, memorable creative work comes. But, you know, I'm not just talking about the relationships between, you know, the big agency shops that creates the big sort of famous above the line campaigns. You know, during lockdown, I've been listening and tuning in to agencies in event marketing, in content creation, in digital, in e-commerce, social, you know, data and analytics, every type. And it goes both ways. You know, those the relationship between those agencies and their clients has had to be brilliant in order to get through it on both sides. You know, frankly, on the other side, you know, brands that don't engage the creative agency sector in some form or another, or that don't treat it with the respect that it deserves, you know, either don't see the light of day or they slide if they show it an increasing level of disrespect. You know, occasionally we see these stories on social, and even yesterday, I think I saw something on LinkedIn along the lines of, you know, we went into a massive competitive pitch situation and the brand has not even had the decency to let us know the outcome of the pitch. And, you know, that I think that's quite rare. I mean, I certainly think it's rare where you've got major household brands involved, which perhaps have been led through the process by intermediaries. But, you know, it does happen, and it's sad when it does happen. But I think it's more a case of educating agencies and both sides on, you know, what the right way to go about pitching and that sort of side of things is in the first place. You know, you have to ask the right questions. And then I think we all come out in a better place.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, it's having myself had quite a lot of experience in hiring agencies throughout my career, that time spent up front understanding that potential relationship, the chemistry, and really getting underneath the skin is time really, really well spent, I think.
Absolutely. I think you are minimizing your chances of having to complain on social media about that circumstance if you go through a ruthless process at the beginning of thinking, can I work with this person? Because when I was full-time at agencies, I would rarely go into a competitive pitch scenario if I hadn't got ticks against probably 6 or 7 criteria, either all of them or the majority.
Yeah, absolutely right. And, you know, we talked about the, you know, the issues and the problems brands don't take sort of responsibility for their relationships with agencies. And looking on the other side of the coin, you know, how do you think brands benefit from continued investment in marketing and in marketing through their agencies? And there's been some published data on this. I'm sure you've got a view on this, though.
Yeah, I mean, in regards to the pandemic, and I think I've done some work in this area. I mean, actually, I wrote a blog myself, or I did the basis of it and then had some help. But in 2017, I wrote something called Shocks Are Inevitable, Creative Is For Life. And it looked at kind of societal and economic disruption from 92, 2001, 2007, and then 2017. And it looked at the fact that you have to accept these shocks and kind of continue to market through them, but in smart ways. And it really is well documented that brands stand a better chance of survival after a crisis by investing in their brand marketing through it than those that don't. And obviously 2020 has been another shock year, albeit a pretty seismic one, but that, you know, the same applies. And I've always tried to align myself with agencies that don't freeze like rabbits in the headlights, and brands which understand, you know, the importance of investing through crises and work at the intersection of that dynamic. And from my own personal point of view, it seems to be working, and the, you know, on both sides of the equation. But also generally, I think, you know, seeing and tuning into lots of podcasts and webinars and so on the subject, it does seem to be generally bringing the best out of both sides.
Yeah, and of course, everybody's talking about all of these new ways of working. You know, you were just talking about all the online platform channels. And what do you think in general terms that means for the future with brands and agencies? Do you think agencies can retain their company culture with all the working from home?
Yeah, I mean, crikey, you know, society culture has been put under strain in all ways, right? But you look, if you drill right down into how agencies and prospects and clients have all interacted in the past, it's a very people business, right? You know, we're all used to going to networking events and meeting people. We're all used to going around to getting around the table and discussing and having chemistry meetings and so on. So yeah, I think it's real. It's massively challenged. I think agencies that which had a more agile approach to work before the pandemic have been able to adapt more quickly. But, you know, in that sense, tech wise, et cetera, we've all caught up. And perhaps that agility has given smaller, more nimble agencies and those with agency models like that an advantage during the pandemic. You know, I mean, creative culture itself, for example, has a global workforce of agile workers in tune with the tech requirements of virtual meetings, et cetera. So I think, you know, that's got to be an advantage. But again, I think we've all caught up a bit. Also, I think there's got to be some correlation with the larger brands, global CMOs with larger global networked agencies. Maybe they struggled a bit to get to grips with the working from home. I did speak to more than a few CMOs who were just, you know, just so not used to having to carve an area out of home to be the office. But again, I think we've all caught up a bit. But definitely, I mean, the culture side of things, you know, this whole sort of working from home, it is not sustainable. And everyone keeps saying, well, that's the end of going into the office. Well, it's not.
No, it's not. I agree with you. It's not.
It just means that I think we'll get to a place that is just a little bit more harmonious across the board, which we probably should have had anyway. And therefore, this is quite a good wake-up call.
Yeah, I think those are really interesting points, Richard, actually, because I think it is a wake-up call. I think we did need to use our time better, I think it is, in doing those things that can be more transactionally done on, if you like, digital online media. But you're right. I mean, I think for a lot of people, it's not just mental health, but also certainly the creative industries and where you need to bounce ideas off people and where you need to actually, where half the time is about human behavior and culture, is that person sitting in front of you, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think, you know, we've all dealt pretty well in the agency world with what we've been served up through this year, which has been pretty horrific. I think we'll get back to just a balanced way into 2021.
Okay, great. And just moving on to what about in-housing? I mean, what's your view on this and the value that agencies can bring to this?
Yeah, I mean, I see it a bit from both sides, and I'm no expert in this, but so I see in-housing having the ability to save costs, but then I also think, well, do you end up with kind of like repeat formula for creative with narrow strategic thinking, creative stimulus? Then I hear from brands that say that in-housing just works brilliantly for them and others who've tried it and ditched it. You know, I believe much in life is sort of down to trend and cyclical occurrences, you know, party politics, football, fortunes, even pandemics, right? You know, they tend to come in waves and some have bigger impacts than others. So I don't know, like, you know, in-housing, is it a fad or is it a long-term trend? I guess a lot of it depends on the view, and this is my own personal opinion. I think a lot of it depends on the view of the senior comms or marketing team at the brand and what works for them. I mean, just like a CMO will come in with a team or even an agency, a CMO might arrive at a brand and make wholesale agency changes, implement an in-housing structure, and then leave again and take that model with them. But I guess, you know, it comes back to my optimism. I suppose what I really believe in is that creativity kind of, you know, has no borders, boundaries, limits, etc. And so whether it's an in-house agency model, external agency, or a blend of the two, I think that fusion of people, creativity, agencies, in-house agencies, whatever, if that gets properly structured and driven through, then you're going to get great creative work that shifts consumer behavior. And I think, you know, that's great. That's all good. That's what we're here for.
Exactly. And I think, isn't it more about where you can originate and develop true creative solutions to business challenges and opportunities? And that might be through an in-housing solution, or it might be just externally, or it might be a mix. And I guess in-housing, one of the challenges for that must be, how do you retain and how do you keep and develop, if you like, new thought processes and different ideas?
Absolutely. But, you know, agencies have that same challenge too, right? Because you constantly have to get external influence into your agency in order to impart that on your brand clients. So it's the same challenge for all. Yeah, it was just something that, you know, drew conversations with a couple of marketers recently.
Okay, that's great. And just going back to a couple of points we were talking about investment. I mean, do you yourself have a good case study or an example of where a brand has invested in their agency since the beginning of the pandemic that's really borne fruit for them?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't have, I mean, I try my best to keep an eye on all of the work that seems to be being put out there as great work. And I don't know whether it's these are sort of great case study examples in terms of ROI. But, you know, there's been a lot of brands that have invested in that kind of pivoting of their skills, you know, right from Mercedes, Formula One and ventilators early on in the pandemic, venues turning themselves into hospitals. I think the supermarkets have all done a brilliant job because they've had their frontline staff turned into national heroes, but they've also suffered quite a lot, probably abuse from their own customers with everyone's fraught approach to what's been going on. And then, you know, you've got just sort of everyday products like, you know, pizza ovens for the garden because they're suddenly in massive demand. And I think I know the marketing director at Uni Pizza Ovens. I mean, they've absolutely smashed it in terms of their e-commerce and their sort of DTC offer, just product flying off the shelf. But I guess, you know, why wouldn't it when people are just looking to spend more time in the garden? But I guess as more of an overarching campaign, I think there's a really nice example from Nationwide and a collaboration between Nationwide and its agencies. So VCCP, Wavemaker, Channel 4, and a production company called The Outfit that has looked at the Together Against Hate campaign, and it singled out three companies, itself, Nationwide, Co-op as a retail network, and Network Rail, and looked to put a spotlight on the abuse that the customer-facing staff of those brands have had to endure either online, over call centers, on the platform, or in stores during the last 6 months. And I think that whole collaboration, I would be very surprised if that doesn't repeat the previous iteration of the campaign's award-winning success when it comes around to award time.
Great. Thank you very much. Turning to a little bit about new business best practice, and be interested to know what shifts you've seen in the way agencies and their prospects interact since the beginning of the pandemic, and anything you can give us on that would be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a bit like we talked already. I mean, everyone has had to deal with the tech, right? Suddenly we're doing pitches on a flat screen instead of being able to bring all the theatre that we've been able to use in live pitches. But, you know, it was interesting also. I remember being as part of during lockdown, the BD100 did a series called BD Sessions, and we brought brands and agencies together to talk. And actually, the casting of pitching has been very different because people, suddenly we found that strategists and creative that were very good in a live environment perhaps weren't the best at pitching into a bit of a black hole. So that changed. But also I think as a kind of theme through the pandemic, prospecting was all about solving and not selling. There were, you know, lots and lots of horror stories of brand marketers and comms people saying that the approach that they'd had from agency business development people perhaps was just, you know, really ill thought through. You know, prospecting for business with a brand that was on its knees in the travel industry or in the hospitality sector. I think, you know, smart business development people and agencies with smart business development departments just started to deploy tech really well. And I'm not talking about, you know, Zoom. I'm talking about products. So, you know, a great product for me through this whole pandemic has been a product called Winmo, just because it gives you that intel and insight into what's going on in brand land so that you can make a proper approach, a considered approach to the brand before, you know, that's well thought through. I mean, I'm much more of a person to make fewer communications, but make them really count than go for that scattergun approach. And I think it's worked for me, and I think it's working for all the BD people in my immediate network that seem to be doing well.
Yeah, and I guess you just alluded to, because I guess one of the great things about, well, one of the key things about the pandemic, of course, it's extraordinarily strong effects it's had on certain sectors of the economy. You mentioned travel, but you could also have included, you know, hospitality and those types of businesses. And of course, you know, prospecting against those isn't necessarily the right thing to be doing.
No, exactly. But, you know, I really feel sorry for those sectors, because I read a great article published on, I think it was on WPP's website, but, you know, it was talking about, you know, you might be set the challenge in a workshop of being given a brick and thinking about different ways that it could be utilized as a bit of a brainstorming exercise. And so many brands have pivoted, reinvented, redeployed their workforces so superbly well. Like, there was a case study of Singapore Airlines bringing its staff to work in hospitals, because the care of people 30,000 feet up in the air and on the ground in hospital is the same. But, you know, some brands are just really, really, you know, it's like, even if they had a bottomless marketing budget, it'd be really hard to pivot out of the situation that they're in if certain measures are forcing them to have their doors shut. It's just really hard.
Thank you very much for your time today, Richard. That's been really interesting. And as for everybody else, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And you can find more podcast episodes by visiting our SoundCloud or website, creativecultureint.com, under our insights section. Make culture work for you.